I'd like to begin, as a matter of fact, focus primarily on the first reading today. The first reading tells us about an incident in the life of Elijah. Now, Elijah was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Many say he was the greatest. If you remember last week at the Feast of the Transfiguration, it was Jesus who was talking to Moses and to Elijah. Now there's one story about Elijah that I think many of you will remember. I'm sure we have it in Mass sometime in our 3-year cycle. I just don't recall exactly when. But it's about Elijah confronting the 400 prophets of the pagan god Baal. What is happening here is Elijah is the only prophet of the true God left. So he confronts those 400 and he says to them, kind of, I'll make a deal with you. Let's prepare 2 animals for sacrifice. You prepare one and I'll prepare the other. And he said, then let us call upon our God and see which God answers us with my fire and consumes the sacrifice. And he said, there's more of you, you go first. And so they prepare their animal for sacrifice. They put it on the altar with wood under it for the fire. And then they start calling upon their God. And they call upon God for a good part of the day. And as the longer they call, the louder they get, and they're dancing. And then they begin to slash themselves with swords, blood is flowing over them. And of course, in all of this, Elijah's taunting them. He's saying to them, call out. He's a god. Maybe he's asleep. Or maybe he's on a journey. So they keep calling louder, but nothing happens. And as the book said, no one answered. No one heard. But then Elijah turns to his own sacrifice. And he says to the people around him, he says, get some water. And so they pour water over the sacrifice. And he said, do it again. So they do it again. And then a third time he says, do it again. And there's a moat around the sacrifice that they dug out. And water fills the moat. And then finally, in a very simple prayer, Elijah calls upon God. And fire leaps down, consumes the sacrifice, the wood, laps up the water. And then it says, Elijah put the 400 prophets to the sword. But Mahai did that, but he did. Now, in the reading today, Elijah is fleeing after that event because Queen Jezebel was one of the promoters of the prophet Baal. And so she's angry. She sends the army after him, and he's running. And finally, in the story today, he takes refuge in a cave. And when he's in that cave, he hears the word of God say to him, I will be passing by. And so then we have the strong wind. And then we have the earthquake. And then we have the fire. And all of these powerful manifestations of nature, God is not present. But then it says, Elijah heard a small whispering sound. And he hid his face in his mantle out of reverence because he knew it was the voice of God. What I'd like to talk about today is, I believe that for the most part, when God speaks to my life or your life, it is with that small whispering voice. You know, sometimes, to some people, God speaks in very powerful ways. You know, manifestations of Jesus or of Mary or of Joseph, of the saints. For most of us, that doesn't happen. For most of us, we encounter God in the small voices of our life. And that's why it's so important for us to become accustomed to silence. We need that time when God can speak to us, when God can guide our lives. When does that happen? Well, I suggest it happens to each and every one of us. And there may be just times like we're in prayer, maybe we're talking to somebody, or driving down the road, or reading something, and that thought suddenly comes to us, I need to do this, whatever it is. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's, there's something I'm doing that I need to stop doing. But we just suddenly have that sense that this is something we either need to do or need to do no longer. And we need to learn to listen to that voice and recognize when it is the voice of God. Now, we need to be a little cautious about this too. Because the good spirit can speak to us, but the evil spirit can also find ways to influence us. And so we have to begin to ask the question, did that come from God, or did that come from the evil one? And how will we know? Well, one of the clearest things is that God will never ask us to do something that's sinful. You know, for instance, God's not going to say to one of you that's married, hey, you better go check out this other person. Maybe you ought to start a relationship with him or her. That's never going to happen. When there is something simple, we know it does not come from God. Another thing to watch is, in keeping what we know from the Scriptures, is this in keeping what the Church teaches? God's not going to tell us to do things contrary to that. Even though we might sometimes wish He would, or we might kind of try to justify ourselves by saying, oh, I think God wanted me to do this. But that's never from God. It's always from the evil one. And then sometimes we're not really sure. And so we have to kind of take our time. We have to, you know, check it out. Because sometimes we get this thought for a moment, and then after a while it just kind of goes away and we realize, no, that came from somewhere else. It didn't come from God. And there was another point I wanted to make, and I've got to find my paper. We must also ask ourselves, is what am I thinking God is asking me to do, is that going to harm people unjustly? You know, God's not going to call me to do something that is unjust to other people. So I need to kind of ask myself, is this going to be unjustly harmful to others? And then the last thing, and this is so important, that thought that has come to me, was it accompanied by selfish thoughts? Prideful thought. In other words, did I think something like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. And everybody's going to say, how great I am. Or they're going to say, boy, how wise, how holy. You know, is whatever I'm thinking about doing more of a manifestation of me than it is of God? And we can probably know in that moment it's not from God. And so these are all things we need to kind of check out, but still being very open to the fact that God can speak to us and does speak to us. And another thing that is important is, if it's a big decision, have we talked it over with someone else? You know, it's always helpful to get an objective person to kind of bounce things off of. If somebody that we know is going to be objective and somebody that we also know sincerely tries to seek God's will in their life. And that checking it out with another person could be so helpful. And then finally, there are times in our lives when we think God is asking me to do this, but I'm just not quite sure. I think one way to handle that is to say, after we've done all the other things and we still can't come to certainty, we can say, Lord, I'm going to do it. Unless you stop me. you don't want me to do this, stop me. I always thought that's how I got ordained. Because I was so uncertain, and I think my batteries just went away. But I was so uncertain that that's what God wanted me to do, that I finally had to do that. And, you know, the bishop showed up that morning, and I showed up. And so God didn't stop me. And I'm pretty sure, as a matter of fact, I have no doubt now, it was God's will for me that I get ordained. But it's that sense that, Lord, I think this is what you want me to do. If I'm reading you wrong, don't let it happen. And of course, God always has that power to stop us if we're still seeking his will. Now I'd like to move over to Peter for a while in the gospel reading. You know, Peter, in his normal impulsiveness, when he sees Jesus walking on the water and Jesus says, it's I, he says, didn't he come to you? And then Jesus says, come, and what does he do? He gets out of the boat. He goes. And yet he loses faith there, but it wasn't a total loss of faith. Because as he starts to sink, he cries out for help. So he still had faith that Jesus could help him. But the point I want to make from Peter is he got out of the boat. And that we also need to do in our lives. When we think God is asking us to do something, we need to do it. You know, it's so easy for us to kind of put it off. Oh, well, that maybe it wasn't God. And just kind of let go of it. But you know, if you sense that God is calling you to maybe make a phone call to someone, drop a card to someone, go visit somebody, we need to be attentive to that and try to follow through. Because God can speak to us in these little ways that have us do things that are important to do. And we never know. Those little actions on our part can be very impactful in the lives of others. And often God connects us with people to accomplish his purpose even when we had no idea that that was going to happen. So, like Peter, we've got to get out of the boat when we sense the Lord calling us to do something. And above all, we have to be open to listen to the voice of God.